Most gracious and heavenly Father, I ask that this message that is presented to us today be your message. Take anything from my heart that is not pure and not true, and give me the heart of a servant. And Father, I ask that this message ring true in our ears, that we will take it to heart, and we'll be able to apply it to our lives going forward. In Christ's name we pray, amen. By the way, let's keep in mind that Raja graduated today. That's why some people aren't here. Raja is at Lamar. He's graduated, so he was part of that class here. All right. In a former life, as a restaurant manager, there were certain requirements that I had of applicants that were wanting to be hired on. You see, the restaurant that I managed, they were on the upper scale of the price tier. And so the guests had certain, you know, specific expectations of my employees and certainly of myself. So knowing of these high expectations and the need to always execute flawlessly, I couldn't just bring anyone onto the team. During the interview process, I always worked to determine if the applicant was going to be a good fit. You see, I would run across applicants that they would show that they had worked at another restaurant for many, many years. But what I found through the interview process, that what they had done was year one over and over and over. They knew nothing more in the third year or fifth year of their employment than they did in the first year of what was taught to them. Like sitting in a pew year after year and then leaving and not having any spiritual growth, just checking off that you went to church that Sabbath. Same thing. If I didn't understand through that interview process that you understood that if it was important to me, it needed to be important to you. I don't care how much experience you had. I don't care how knowledgeable you were, how sharp and smooth you were during that interview process. If I sensed for a second that you were never going to have me and my priorities as your priorities, you didn't make the cut. God has spent our entire existence since the fall of Adam and Eve trying to reconcile us back to him. And this Bible is one long love story of God doing everything he can to bring us back. He has given us his son. He has shown us patience. And he's been the embodiment of love. It is important. If it's important to God, it needs to be important to us. It's important to God that every person has an opportunity to either accept or deny his son. I ask, is what important to God important to you? Do you put aside your wants for the wants of God? Do you appreciate that God is building a team and the team's goal is to bring the gospel to the world? In a world where there is so much information being presented to us daily, I can understand, I hope you can understand, how neighbors, friends, and yes, even family can get caught up with worldly thoughts. That's why it's so important that we are vigilant in our service to God. In Matthew 28:16-20, which is part of the scripture reading, we find the biblical mandate, commonly identified as the Great Commission, in which Jesus instructs his followers to move outward to make disciples, teaching them in faith and initiating them into the fellowship. Disciple making is the primary focus of the Great Commission. It is important to highlight that the only action verb in these scriptures found in Matthew 28 is make disciples. teaching everyone, baptizing them, and sharing Jesus' teachings to the whole world are the characteristics of the disciple-making process. Whether we go out and care for the homeless in the streets, or we coordinate that they come here and we give them the much-needed supplies and we make a connection and interactions with them within our neighborhoods, our goal is to make disciples of those whom we meet. Are we visiting those that are ill or going through some rough personal times? Have we reached out to our visitors and invited them back so that they see our church family as their church family? When we remove the things that are obstructions in the life of those in need, food, clothing, personal care items, a hand to hold, a shoulder to cry on, or maybe just an ear to listen, if only for a moment, then this can open their hearts and minds onto the spiritual substance that Jesus offers. When Jesus told his disciples to go to all nations, his desire was for all to be part of the commission of bringing souls to him. We spoke of the individual, but how about the church itself? Ellen White, what is the church's mission? Ellen White and the Testimonies of the Church. The mission of the church is to save perishing sinners. It is to make known the love of God to men and to win them to Christ by the efficacy of that love. So as a congregation, is what important to God important to us? Do our decisions reflect that ministry? Do our resources support the ministry of making disciples of those whom we have influences with? Is our time being invested in supporting and leading the Great Commission? So, how do we bring others to Christ? What is the plan? What is important to God that we need important to our life? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is the principle set out by Jesus that shows us how we need to act as his disciples who have the good news to share with others. Sharing the truth is not about convincing others how wrong they are, but about sharing Jesus as portrayed in the three angels' message in Revelation 14. Some of you, in fact, a lot of you, have the gift of hospitality. You see it. I see it in your disposition, how you interact with others. The story of Abraham sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day is certainly a story that should instruct and inspire us as well. In Genesis 18, 1 through 15, there's a story of Abraham and his hospitality towards some strangers traveling. In the heat of the day, when most people were found in the back of their tent, in the cool section of the tent, Abraham is sitting at the entrance of his tent, possibly looking for strangers coming by so he could interact with them. While there, he sees three travelers. He runs toward them and offers them water to drink, water to wash their feet, a tree for shade, while food can be prepared. You see, Abraham was aware of his mission, which was to share with everyone the knowledge of the Lord in a world engulfed in paganism, idolatry, polytheism. As we can see, Abraham's fulfillment of his mission was through hospitality. What are our excuses to avoid our mission? Not everyone called to mission is as compliant as Abraham was. Jonah is an example of the opposite. I must say, after interviewing Jonah, I wouldn't have hired him. He lacked the buy-in, and I am certain that he would have either not shown up or been late for his first shift. So when Jesus says that when we are baptized, receive our gifts, what does that mean? What are our excuses today? Too busy? Too busy for God? Is that what you're saying? I don't have the talents. I have no resources to share. So when Jesus says that when we are baptized, we receive our gifts, Jesus is wrong. I have no resources to share. I hear that. I have no resources to share. We are the resource. You are the resource. Our story, our heart, our caring is all that Jesus needs to bring the gospel to others, y'all. You know what you have to offer? Your life story. How about sharing with people where you were before Christ and where you are now? Talk about a story. That's a story. That is a story. Where you were then and where you are now. You know, if you want to describe the Grand Canyon to someone, its beauty and majesty, you'd likely need to go there first. Then you can tell of its beauty and majesty. But to get to the bottom to the top, or the top to the bottom, there's work that must take place. There are loose rocks, prickly plants. The heat can be unbearable. Your muscles ache on the climb up. And after a few hours, the thought of how much further to the car can certainly cross your mind. But because you made this journey and you've been to the bottom and top of this great canyon, you can share with others what you know about this journey. And you can help them prepare about this journey. And you can confirm that the journey is well worth it. What greater motivation for mission could there be than to let others know about Jesus and what he has done for us, for you, for me? As a congregation and as individuals, when we possess the Holy Spirit, we should be motivated to spread the gospel. We're called to spread the gospel to the world, to a sinful, fallen, and corrupt world with sinful, fallen, and corrupt people in it. Our job is not to judge. Our job is to witness to the saving power of Jesus. You know the old adage, those that can't do teach? Well, I'm the poster boy for that. I'm unqualified in worldly standards to stand up here today and speak to you about the saving power of Jesus and to remind you that you have a commission. You have an obligation to go out there and to care for God's people. I can be impatient with those that love me dearly. I can be unforgiving for those that do not see things my way. And I think I like golf way too much. But here I am, and here you are, Sabbath school teachers, deaconesses, church clerks, greeters with likely similar worldly issues as I, maybe not as bad, but you're not perfect. Our mission work here comes from a deep love and thankfulness of the efforts toward the great gospel commission. When in prayer, what is one of your constants that you have included in your prayers? Is it a direction from God to doing his work here on earth? I ask, what is your ministry? Where are you focusing your talents and your efforts toward the great gospel commission? What do you call joy in service to God? Who, what, where, when and how are you telling people about Jesus? You know, in Luke 5, 17 through 26, we find the illustration of how God is helping those in need. Sometimes God uses others to help us, and sometimes he uses us to help others. The work can be challenging, but it brings great rewards. By helping those in need, we are modeling the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Bible encourages us to draw closer to strangers, and by winning their confidence, we can find better ways of helping them find Jesus. We would have never known how important a flashlight is to a homeless person until we were out there. And then we found out you couldn't have handled something more important. Who would have thought that until you got out there? Ellen White challenged us to help the helpless. She wrote, "Do not wait to be told your duty. Open your eyes and see who are around you. Make yourself acquainted with the helpless, afflicted, and needy. Hide not yourselves from them and seek not to shut out their needs." That was a testimony to the church. You are the church that she spoke to. There's a tried and true method to reaching others. It's a five-step process. Mingle with the helpless. Spend time to getting to know them. We need to show sympathy. This can be challenging sometimes due to distrust and our own biases. I have to tell you, I have a problem when I've spent a lot of time and effort, and people around me spend a lot of time and effort to get these bags together, and somebody is sitting against a fence across the street, and they're waving for me to bring it to them, opposed to getting off their rear end and coming getting this bag that's got all these goodies in it. I don't do well like that. Thank goodness I've got people that are surrounding me to keep me from going crazy. I don't like that. That's a bias of mine. My bias is, if I'm going to give you something, I want you to show me appreciation now, because I've invested a lot of time and effort to get this done, and I've got to let go of this. I've got to let that go. That's an imperfection that can't stay. I got to let go of that. So now, after this last year, I have to say, I'm more willing to trudge over there and give them the bag and all that, you know. I still mumble under my breath. Minister to their needs. This involves more than just words. It takes action. Win their confidence. When we minister to people, when we help them, they will learn to trust them. And last step is to help lead them to Jesus, an act that requires faith from both you and the one whom you help. There's a growing excitement to moving out to the country. Many here have bought and purchased property away from the city. I must say that I'm only a few minutes from town, but because so many people around me have acres and acres, that I enjoy that country living myself. I'm very fortunate to do that. Some of us have gardens, care for bees, have chickens, a goat. This is good for many reasons, and we should be grateful that this is an option. But the Bible tells us that we are to reach out to the needy, the unreachable. It was a city that God told Jonah to go to. It was Jesus that went into the cities and healed and taught. It was Peter, Paul, and Barnabas traveling city to city, bringing the message of the gospel. Ellen White tells us that the importance of rural life and how it offers the quality of life that we can hope to have away from the city's hustle and bustle. But, however, we are instructed to meet them where they are, the people that are in need. We are to go and minister to them in their environment, and show them that God cares and Jesus saves. How do we go about making what's important to God important to us? There are so many distractions, so many shiny things to catch our attention. You do know that most of you have a little barracuda in you. I know I do. I strike at shiny objects. I'm always looking at, hey, that's nice. That's nice. That's what the world is. The world is full of shiny objects. We gotta keep our eyes off the shiny objects. That's not what's important to God. Gloria, she's probably in the foyer keeping bad people out right now. Gloria and I recently, Gloria and I recently traveled to Keene, Texas. In fact, we've made this trip at least three times. And we go to Keene and we get supplies for our individual ministries. If you've ever been to Keene, Texas, it's where our conference office is, the university, the library is there. There's a different feel to this town in Keene. In fact, Gloria had stated the last trip that at one time Keene was voted one of the top three safest towns in all of Texas. Well, why not? If it's full of people that think like us, it should be safe. You may go about your studies as a student or as a teacher or a business person or a conference officer and go about your business with a sense of peace, traveling around to and from your home to your to work, to the campus. There's a small lake that's adjacent to the campus where every time I've been there, I see them canoeing and picnicking and fishing and the like. You'd likely have a different perspective about your environment than say if you went to a university in downtown Houston, wouldn't you? However, I am certain that as you moved out to the edges of the town of Keene, you'd find people that have no idea who a Seventh-day Adventist is. You'd find people that have no idea truly who Jesus is. We do not need to go out of this country to find people that need to know about who Jesus is. God's mission needs to be our ministry. 1 Samuel 2:35, then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. The book of Revelation fills the mind with scenes of the end. The epicenter of the book deals with the cosmic conflict between Christ and Satan. Scholars and laypersons enthusiastically explore and seek to identify the predicted signs and the events that mark church history. And they're right to do so. However, when we look at the book of Revelations in its entirety, we see that truly this book is about missionary focus. Our calling is to proclaim the present truth to the world right up to the time that every person has made their choice for or against God. And until that time comes, you are not asked, you're not suggested to, you are demanded by God to tell his people that Jesus is coming. You're demanded to go out there and help their brothers and sisters removing obstacles in front of them so that they can focus on the big picture. I ask once more, what is your ministry? How are you getting the message out? Who are you getting the message out to? I had someone tell me that, well, I'm a good father or mother to my children. I'm showing them how to be a good person. I'm kind to my spouse, and I help with housework. At work, I'm fair with my employees. And I even help my community. I teach soccer on the weekends. These things are all well and good, but they're done by many people that are not Christian. We can all be good fathers and mothers, good neighbors and friends, and not be Christian. The difference is what is important to God important to us? Are we bringing the gospel to the others? Are we sharing your walk with others that do not know Jesus? Are you comforting the needy? We may study Revelation and Daniel to better understand end time events. We may be knowledgeable in many Bible teachings and may be able to recite many Bible verses. However, when we truly understand what the last book of the Bible teaches and who the main figures are, we will come to one conclusion. Revelation 12:17, the dragon was enraged with the woman and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We will be sharing the testimony of Jesus and of his certain return to others in this great commission that we are allowed to be a part of. You see, Satan and his fallen angels know who Jesus is. There's many people in the world that know the name of Jesus and can tell you a little bit about him. But the difference is sharing of the gospel, doing the work that Jesus told us to do, helping others prepare for his coming. Putting ourselves out there in uncomfortable situations, setting aside our personal wants and desires to comfort others and tell about Jesus' imminent return. What good works is it to know the Bible, know Scripture, be aware of Jesus' plan for all humanity, and keep that in a safer vault where only we got it? That's not good. That's not what it's about. I ask, what is your ministry? How are you getting the message out? Are you part of this church's congregation who calls upon you to help it assist in its operation? How are you helping this church do God's work? Is what important to God important to you? Do you put aside your wants for the wants of God? Do you appreciate that God is building a team and the team's goal is to bring the gospel to others? And finally, and by comforting and sharing what God has blessed us with, our time and our resources, with those who are in need, this may open their eyes and their hearts to Jesus Christ, our and their Savior. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.